the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
Well, the confetti sweepers are in the streets of Washington today. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, who is in Washington, D.C., having observed all of the inaugural festivities. Today on the Albert Mohler program, we're going to be talking about one specific issue, the 32nd anniversary of Roe versus Wade, and how the church can engage in an abortion culture. And we want you to join that conversation at 877-893-8255. But before we do, we want to hear from Dr. Mohler. Dr. Mohler, are you there?
I'm here, right standing on the mall, Russ, looking at a beautiful sunset on the west front of the U.S. Capitol. If that doesn't make your heart beat just a little faster, you're just not an American.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about what you have seen in the past day or two in the inaugural festivities?
Yes, just picking up from yesterday, you know, fresh after the president's inaugural address, let me say that not only in this country but around the world, there's been a positive reception to what the president had to say. And speaking to a world audience yesterday as he directed his address, it's interesting to see that a lot of the themes he articulated really have caught the attention of people around the world. It'll be interesting, of course, to see what happens over the next several months. Now, even here in Washington, as they're taking down the platform for the inauguration, and the west front of the Capitol now is full of deconstruction, taking everything down. Next week, of course, you've got confirmation hearings coming up for Condoleezza Rice and Alberto Gonzalez continuing from last week. So, in one sense, the inauguration is kind of like one great patriotic pause in the middle of the dance of politics.
Yeah, because the Democratic Senate has some loud objections to Condoleezza Rice. We know that she's probably going to be confirmed, but it won't be without incident.
You know, Russ, at the inaugural ceremony yesterday, a part of what the public really doesn't get much to see is about an hour and a half of lead-up with various dignitaries coming onto the platform and being introduced by the Marine MC of the entire event, kind of the master of ceremonies. And the biggest applause, other than for the President of the United States yesterday, was for Condoleezza Rice. That ought to tell you a whole lot about where she is in the hearts of the people.
Well, especially when you contrast her to Barbara Boxer, who was grilling her on C-SPAN for all the world to see the other day. I mean, quite a difference in terms of poise and dignity.
Well, I have to also say that's not a fair fight when it comes to understanding the issues at hand. I've been able to meet with Condoleezza Rice and to hear her. You know, I have no doubt about her character and her just unquestioned intelligence when it comes to dealing with these matters. But, of course, politics is politics, and this is a city that thrives on politics, and the Democrats are out of control in all three houses of or branches of government, basically, and looking at what's going to happen not only in terms of the elections coming up in 2 years, but appointments to the Supreme Court. Russ, on the 23rd, of course, our minds immediately turned always with this to the anniversary of Roe v. Wade. And one of the big issues is, of course, what we saw yesterday with a very, very frail Chief Justice who showed great courage in administering the oath of office. But, you know, when it comes right down to it, we know there are going to be big changes on that court, and the life issues are right front and center.
Well, don't you think that we've seen just a little hint of what the confirmation battles might look like with the opposition to Condoleezza Rice?
Russ, I think you're right. I'll tell you though one thing: that the feeling in this town is, though, that a lot of the noise being made is just to score points, not so much to sway votes. In other words, the talk on the street here and on the Hill is that both Condoleezza Rice and Alberto Gonzalez are going to be confirmed. It's just a matter of during the hearing process how much damage, how much noise and attention that the opposing party can make.
So are you very optimistic, as you're in Washington right now, about the chances of combating the Roe v. Wade culture?
Well, you know, let me tell you, just waking up this morning, coming out, there are already protesters for the pro-life movement out here, and they're doing brave work, there's just no doubt. But we're up against an incredible culture of death, and you and I talk about this all the time, but we know that even legislative and judicial victories, as important as they are just a first step. So optimistic is not, I think, the right flavor, but hopeful would be. I think that's a legitimate Christian response, to be hopeful that the Lord will give us an opportunity to push back on the culture of death.
Well, Dr. Mueller, how do you think that the rest of the world is going to react to the president's speech yesterday? Do you think this is going to cause some changes in the dynamics with, say, France and Germany when it comes to Middle East politics?
Well, Russ, I look forward to talking about that just in coming days, trying to think that through with you and others. But I'll tell you this. If you listen to that presidential address yesterday, you'll notice the themes were so American, so deeply American, tied to liberty and freedom, oppression of tyranny, and toward tyranny. And then you look at themes that sound like JFK in his inaugural address in 1961, and Woodrow Wilson at the beginning of the 20th century, and Teddy Roosevelt. It's very hard to imagine how anyone can argue against what he said. And, I'll tell you, Russ, this is one of my big frustrations right now. France will criticize President Bush, but France is one of the major supporters of tyranny in the world, the way they cozy up to dictators. For instance, one of the things that's come out in the press here in recent days when it comes to Iran, where, of course, you have France and Germany taking the slowest route possible to go through a process of United Nations study and staring down the Iranians on nuclear weaponry and all the rest, when in reality the big deal is they're major trading partners and they do not want to offend the Iranians.
Well, and much of the same was true with Saddam Hussein.
Well, absolutely. Let's remember the French helped Saddam Hussein to build the nuclear reactor that the Israelis destroyed several years ago. So what we're looking at here is the reality that it's going to be very hard for these countries, France, Germany, or anyone else for that matter, to try to argue against what the president said. But I guarantee you, and you know this already, they're going to try to put every obstacle they can in the way of this president accomplishing his foreign policy.
Well, after a day to reflect on the inaugural events, what can you tell our listeners that is going on there that maybe we're not seeing on television?
Well, I don't think there's much attention, of course, to the side of what goes on that doesn't get press attention. You know, the press goes to the balls, to the big public events. But at an inauguration, I'll tell you two things really struck me. Number one is how many just normal Americans are here? How many families walking on? I wrote in my commentary this morning about seeing all these families, some carrying little children on their shoulders through the snow, one dad quipping to his little boy, "You better remember this." I had to laugh, too, because I kind of felt the same way, even though my children are older than we had here. But the other side of that is this is a time when a lot of serious business is being done. There are more people in Washington right now for different meetings and occasions that are connected to the inauguration. Russ, this morning, the presidential inaugural worship service was held at National Cathedral, and it was a very moving event to see all of the nation's leaders, especially the president and the vice president, there gathered to begin this new administration with prayer, and to do so in a public way. And yes, by the way, the prayers were in the name of Jesus Christ.
Well, that is remarkable, and you have to salute the courage of those ministers of the gospel who won't compromise at that point.
Yes, and there were some who I think had to play the theme because they were reading out of the prayer book. Nonetheless, they had to read the right words anyway.
Well, we can be thankful for that. Well, the 2-year-old who was present at the inauguration, I think, is going to be able to look back and say, "I was present at something momentous." I mean, this speech was kind of along the lines, I think, of JFK's 1960 speech. I mean, I think we really will remember this event.
I think so. And, you know, this is a president who is often parodied and lampooned by comedians and by the far left for being inarticulate. I can't imagine what presidential occasion and what president could have produced a more eloquent and articulate context than we heard yesterday.
What do you think, Dr. Mueller, about conservatives who are criticizing the president today, such as Peggy Noonan, saying that President Bush's speech was too utopian and optimistic?
Well, again, which part of it's too optimistic? You know, I'd have to come back. I have a lot of admiration for Peggy Noonan, but, you know, I really think in that respect she's thinking more along the Cold War mentality that framed her work with President Reagan than the kind of work that President Bush has to face now in America's leadership in this world. You know, if we are unwilling to say, just like the president said yesterday, that the survival of liberty in this land depends upon the success of liberty in other lands, if we're afraid to say that, then what makes us distinctively American, and did we believe what we've been saying for the last 200 years?
And containment clearly doesn't work with Islamic terrorist cells.
It doesn't work with Islamic terrorist cells, and you know what? It really just doesn't work with lawlessness. It doesn't work with anyone that doesn't respect the rule of law. And that's where, you know, just calling people foul the way the Europeans do and writing them traffic tickets for terrorism, I think we're seeing that that's how we got into this mess, and President Bush spoke with courage yesterday, and I believe he spoke with determination. I think he said exactly what he intends to do.
Well, Dr. Mueller, we look forward to having you back behind the mic on Monday, and thank you for these observations from Washington, D.C.
Well, Russ, you have a great time. The show's in good hands, and I look forward to being back on Monday, and I'm going to listen to today's show while you're doing it.
All right. Well, we will see you back here on Monday. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the 32nd anniversary of Roe versus Wade. Dr. Mueller has just said it can't be done through court decisions alone or legislation. What can churches do to restore a culture of life? We want your comments. Give us a call at 877-893-TALK, and we'll join the conversation. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mueller, and this is the Albert Mueller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mueller. You know, the other day we had a picture made of in our family, and my youngest son would not show his face. He was too shy to look at the camera. Except in this particular picture, the photographer was an ultrasound technician, and my youngest son, Samuel, is an 18-and-a-half-week fetus in the definition of the United States Supreme Court that 32 years ago tomorrow decreed that my youngest son does not have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And tomorrow, and for the next 3 days, groups are organizing all over the country either to commemorate Roe versus Wade or to say Roe versus Wade is a horrendous mark on our country's history. For instance, on Monday, the March for Life is going to gather, as it does every year in Washington, D.C., as people are standing up and saying, we believe that what happened in the Supreme Court building 32 years ago is something that has resulted in the loss of millions of human lives, and we ought to all lament it and seek to address it. At the same time, Norma McCorvey, who was Jane Roe 32 years ago, is trying to force the Supreme Court through her petition to undo Roe versus Wade, to undo the damage that was done. And other events are going on. A Roman Catholic Church, it's reported in the New York Times today, has actually taken the move of giving burials to aborted babies and providing burials for them in Boulder, Colorado, causing a great outcry from the pro-abortion community there in Boulder, Colorado. Why would you give burials to fetuses? Well, it's because, as church says, these aren't just fetuses. These are little ones. These are babies who deserve burial. And you see all kinds of nervousness, as Dr. Mueller mentioned, in the nation's capital about the issue of abortion, as even Democrats are saying, well, we really kind of got kicked to the curb at the polls in November, and a huge reason for that was the abortion issue. And so the left wing of the Democratic Party is standing up and saying, now, let's not give up on reproductive freedom. Let's not give up on women's autonomy. And so we're going to have a continued debate over the issue of abortion that seems to heighten right around this time as we mark this dreadful anniversary. But the question I want to ask is, even with all of these political debates and legal debates going on, what are we going to do in our churches to confront the abortion culture right now? I mean, it would be very easy to sit back and say, well, I voted for pro-life candidates in November, and I'm hoping for pro-life Supreme Court nominees in the next months and years to come, but what are we going to do right now? Especially when some evangelical Christians seem to be even as confused about the abortion issue as the secular culture. Greg Boyd, for instance, pastor of one of the fastest-growing churches in Minnesota, has recently said on the radio and written in an article that, well, abortion is a tough issue, and we need to keep in mind that we can't be single-issue voters and single-issue people. And he offered the opinion that maybe abortion ought to be legal in the first trimester and illegal in the second and third trimesters. What Dr. Boyd is missing, and so many other evangelicals who are going squishy on this issue, is that it is the money behind the abortion industry that is driving the abortion culture. I mean, there's a reason why Planned Parenthood is spending all of this money and all of these resources on a pro-choice mentality among the younger generations of American citizens. It's because they're receiving money from abortions. So what do we need to do within our churches to make sure that whatever happens in terms of the law, while we're fighting to protect the unborn legally and politically, what can we do in our churches? I want you to join the conversation. Let me know what you think our churches can be doing at the 32nd anniversary of Roe versus Wade to create a culture of life and to create sensitivity to the most vulnerable among us, including the unborn. Give us a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and join the conversation. Sometimes it's difficult to know what to do. It seems like such a huge task, especially when you have so many vulnerable young women who are going into abortion clinics all over this country. We don't know who they are. We don't know the kind of crisis often that they're facing. How can our churches reach out to them? How can we demonstrate to them we care about you, we care about your baby, we care about life? What are you doing? Give us a call, 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK, and join the conversation. I've got a couple of ideas myself, and one of them is I think that within the church, we really need to celebrate babies. And that sounds like such an obvious thing, but we're living in a culture. I mean, you think about even the ads on television that are discouraging teenagers from having sex, which we all want teenagers not to be having premarital sex. But some of the ads come on and have a screaming baby in the background and say, imagine your life with this kind of a screaming baby. Imagine not being able to pursue your goals and your dreams. And what disturbs me is that sometimes within the church, we talk exactly the same way. We talk as though having a baby is the equivalent of a venereal disease. I mean, you think of, for instance, young couples who are getting married. And so often the word of wisdom that is coming from older couples within the church is make sure you don't have a baby for several years. Why? So that you can enjoy one another. Well, what does that say? That when a baby comes along, when you are fruitful and multiplying, and when God blesses you with children, you no longer enjoy one another? What kind of a mentality is that? And how do we correct that within our churches? We want you to join the conversation and let us know what you think. Give us a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. I also think that our churches have got to step up to the plate on the adoption issue. And that means not simply saying that adoption is better than abortion, and not simply saying to, in some abstract way, all of you women out there who are wanting to have abortions, we will adopt the children. Let's start talking to specific women in specific crisis pregnancy situations saying, yeah, we will direct you toward people who will adopt this baby. And to start speaking to our congregations and in our preaching and in our teaching, really sensitizing evangelical Christians to the fact that there are infants in foster care and infants in foreign orphanages who need parents, who need to have people devoted to life enough to say, we will, rather than spend $30,000 on in vitro fertilization, and rather than using the stewardship of the money that God has given us for all of these radical infertility treatments, we're going to adopt a child who is abandoned, who is languishing. And yet we so often don't talk about things like that because we believe it's just too personal. Well, I think that our churches, if we're going to be pro-life, we need to start talking about adoption and talking about how adoption is grounded in the salvation that we share in Christ. As Paul says, you are all adopted sons of God. And that means also that we need to start saying to some of our young people in our congregations, you know, maybe God is calling you to adopt a baby. And to say to some of our older couples in the church, you know, maybe God is calling you to use your financial resources to help a younger couple adopt a baby. And it also means that in our preaching, we need to start talking about the unborn, and when we're talking about the vulnerable, put a face to what the world calls a fetus. That this is an issue that is so grave that every fetal face is the face of Jesus. What do you think? Give us a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How can our churches engage the abortion culture and create a culture of life within our own walls? Give us a call and let us know what you think, and we'll pick up the conversation in just a moment. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
child and she was in school, and life was fast and the world was cruel. We were young and wild, we decided not to have a child. So we did what we did and we tried to forget, and we swore up and down there would be no regrets in the morning light. But on the way home,
welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. Tim McGraw, country music singer, singing about deciding not to have a child and deciding not to ever have any regrets. Well, on the 32nd anniversary of Roe v. Wade, there are thousands of people, perhaps even listening to this broadcast, who know that is not possible, that the regret and the pain continues on the legacy of Roe v. Wade. You can't just legislate a person out of personhood. What I want to ask you is how in a culture when abortion rights is even finding its way into country music lyrics, are we in our churches going to foster a culture of life? Let us know what you think. Give us a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And let us know what's going on in your congregation. How are you specifically equipping the people in your congregation, your fellow church members, to reach out to women in crisis pregnancies and to sensitize people to the plight of the unborn? We have Sherry on the line. Sherry, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Moore. I was listening to the program, and I'm thinking back to when I was in college, and I went to a Christian college, and we had a Christian ethics class where we debated several issues, and one of the ones we debated was abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And it surprised me first that all the people on the panel on the discussion with it were men. But what really surprised me is that, not that they were all against abortion, it was a very good position to take, but most of them said that even in rape cases, they were totally against abortion. But when the question was put to them, what if your wife was raped and was pregnant, would you? And they all kind of wishy-washed on the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we really need to teach them first. One thing that bothered me was their lack of compassion who were in these kind of situations. And first, we need to teach them compassion for these people so that we can help them out of these situations and into a better decision than abortion. And second, to ensure that we teach them it's wrong no matter what the situations were that caused the pregnancy.
Yeah, and I think, Sherry, one issue there is when we have people who have been raped, we need to have congregations. You know, Paul gives us this pattern in Titus 2 of older women who are able to minister to younger women. We really need to be equipping the women in our congregations to be able to reach out to women who are in some of the most awful of situations, such as rape, rather than simply referring people off to someone else, God knows who may refer that person to an abortionist. We need to say, yeah, you get the help that you need, but we also have people here who are willing to talk with you and share with you. And I think that's where adoption comes in. I mean, I certainly can understand that we're going to have women who have been raped, who are pregnant, who are going to say, I cannot raise this child. Fine. We have many families who are willing to take this innocent child and to raise this child and become parents to this child. I think you're right. This is the compassionate way, not only for the mother, but also for the child. We have Steve on the line from Minnesota, listening on XM Radio. Steve, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Yes, good afternoon. Great show. My brother and his wife's a doctor, they have a woman that keeps coming into the hospital here in Minnesota, in a town in Minnesota, and she's appears to be hooked on drugs,
mm-hmm.
like methamphetamine, and she keeps having kids.
Yeah.
They already adopted one little girl from her, beautiful kid. She evidently is receiving the counseling or has enough sense of mind, you know, not to have an abortion.
Yeah.
But the cycle, now they're looking at adopting another baby girl that she just had.
Yeah.
And it's a cycle, and yeah, I feel so helpless. I'm probably about an hour and a half away. I don't know the woman at all. And it's a touchy situation, too, when you deal with adoption and stuff. I mean, I think it's my brother. I mean, hats off to him.
Yeah.
I mean, if more people, I mean, including myself, you know, would step up like that and give the option, because that's the reality of it.
Well, You know, one of the things, Steve, is we keep talking about the women involved here, and yet, you know, there are no stars shining over these abortion clinics. There are no virgin births being aborted. There are men involved in every one of these situations. And I want to tell you, one of the things that is really burdensome to me is making sure that in our congregations we are raising men who know that what it means to be a man is to protect women and children. And that means that these men that we have, including some in our churches, who are slinking off with women they have impregnated to abortion clinics, that is nothing less than violence and abuse. And we need to create a culture in our churches that recognizes, hey, boys, when you grow up to be men, you protect women, you love women, you shelter women, and you protect children, including your children. What do you think? Give us a call at 877-893-8255 and join the conversation. How do we create a culture of life in our churches? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
They say to have her hair done, Liz flies all the way to France. And Jackie's seen in a discotheque doing a brand new dance. And the White House social season should be glittering and gay. But here in Topeka, the rain is a-falling, the faucet is a-dripping, and the kids are a-balling. One of them a-toddling, and one is a-crawling, and one's on the way.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. Loretta Lynn lamented that one's on the way, and that's the way our culture seems to picture babies. How on earth can you celebrate one more baby screaming and crawling and bawling in a household when, after all, you could be doing all kinds of much more interesting things? Well, if we're going to be a gospel church of Jesus Christ, how are we going to confront that kind of mentality? How are we going to say having babies and raising up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, even in a culture that says Planned Parenthood is the greatest virtue you can have, this is a good thing. This is a God thing. Let us know what you're doing in your congregations to try to instill this kind of culture of life. Give us a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And we have Rob on the line, who is listening in Iowa on XM Radio. Rob, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you, Dr. Moore. One thing real quick. I think Tim McGraw admits that you can't have no regrets when he says, but right after that. But the reason I called is my wife and I have been married 23 years, and 24 years ago we had an abortion. Mm-hmm. I say we because I was just as much involved as she was, and I've suffered pain and guilt and regret, and it's kind of been a big unspoken issue in our marriage. But the thing is, we've never told anyone about it. And now we've got two teenage kids, and I'm just wondering, do we need to tell anybody about that, or can we keep that?
Rob, are you and your wife believers in Christ?
Yes.
Okay. What I would say to you is I don't think that you're mandated to tell anyone about this biblically if you've repented before God of it. But I think that with your teenage children and with your congregation, it could be a marvelous testimony to the grace of God. The first thing that I would want to say to you is you definitely should say to yourself and your wife, and you should preach the gospel to yourselves in saying, we are not abortionists. We are not guilty of the sin of abortion, because in Christ, that sin has been forgiven at the cross of Jesus Christ, and you bear it no more. And so you stand completely forgiven in Christ, and there is no condemnation against you. And so I think that you really should preach the gospel to yourself in that way every day, in the way that all of us as sinners, all of us, as Jesus says, murderers before God, need to preach the gospel to ourselves. And I think that what may be very helpful in your congregation, and it depends on your circumstance, is if you and your wife could, in conjunction with your pastor, just testify to the grace of God in changing your heart and in forgiving you of this sin. And that's something that I think is crucially needed in our churches, because on the one hand, we want to speak prophetically to the abortion culture, and we want to speak prophetically against those who are tempted to have abortions, and to say, this is what it really is. It's the murder of a human being. And at the same time, we need to be magnifying the grace and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, and to say, Jesus' blood can forgive any sin, including this one. And I think that so often we have people in our congregations who are willing to admit, yes, Jesus has forgiven me of gossip, or yes, Jesus has forgiven me of premarital sex. But we have people in our congregations who are not willing to stand up simply because they don't want to glorify the sin of abortion, obviously. But to stand up and say, you know what, we committed this sin and Jesus forgave us even for this. And I think that what's going to happen there is not that it's some kind of indulgence for the forgiveness of your sins. That's been forgiven at the cross. But I think that could help that struggling young woman in your congregation who is battling every day that she's there. And you know, there are days for women who have had abortions, even women who have come to Christ. There are days that are extremely excruciating. Mother's Day. And when they sit and think, how old would this child be now? And baby dedications and other events in the life of a congregation in which we have women in our congregation who are laboring under condemnation. We need to be able to stand up and say, in Christ, all of this is forgiven, and to offer the gospel to women who have had abortions and to men who have led women to have abortions through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I really would counsel you to talk to your pastor and to say, maybe we do need to talk to our teenage children about this, and to say, you know, we need to tell you this is something we did that was evil. And yet Christ loves evil people and forgives evil people as everyone who ever lives is. I mean, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need that proclaimed boldly in our churches, especially on the abortion issue right now. But thank you for that word, Rob. And that is a marvelous testimony of the grace of Christ. We have Phil on the line calling from WTSJ in Cincinnati. Phil, welcome to the Albert Mohler program.
Mine's kind of a three-part answer to the question. And I see this as a bigger spiritual problem. Abortion is part of many problems within our nation. The first thing I would say is pray to God for revival, and may that start in the church, that the believers in Christ would pray for lost souls and then go out and evangelize. Because until we change people's hearts, we're not going to change their minds, brother.
That's right.
That's the bottom line here, and the church has to do this. And if we can cry out to God and say, God, forgive my sins and the sins of this nation, maybe we can see a Nineveh. Maybe we can see a Welsh revival, but it's going to have to come from God. We have gone down a slippery slope of sin in this nation for so long, and there's so much apathy and indifference in the church. I see it.
Yeah.
And it just breaks my heart.
Well, and Phil, one thing that we're going to have to do is not simply talk about this within the walls of the church, but we need to be on the streets talking to women lining up in abortion clinics, not simply standing there with protest signs, but saying to them, come to the Crisis Pregnancy Center where we're going to help you and we're going to give you a gospel that can free you from the sense of guilt and condemnation that you have that is very real, and also a way to help you and help your baby in the name of Jesus Christ. What do you think? What should our congregations be doing to create a culture of life? Give us a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Keep
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. Madonna, the symbol of free sex, free love, sexual revolution, America, who nonetheless, in the sad lyrics of that song, talks about the dilemma of when a baby comes along and the entire culture tells you, get rid of it. Even Madonna has a culture that has a conscience that can feel the weight of this. And I want to say to you, there are women all over this country right now at the 32nd anniversary of Roe versus Wade who are burdened under the violence of this act of abortion, an act of violence that not only destroys the life of unborn children, but also hurts women and keeps women captive and men captive to sin and guilt and condemnation. We had a young lady who called in during the commercial segment a few moments ago who talked about the fact that she had had two abortions and that she has struggled all of her life with feelings of guilt and condemnation, and that just recently she has come to an understanding that she has been forgiven in Christ. You know, that is what I pray is happening in churches all over this country, that we are going to be willing and equipped to stand up and say, not only do we want to help young women not to have abortions, although we want to do that, but we also want to stand up and to say to all of these women who are burdened with guilt and burdened with condemnation that if you believe in Christ, you are free. You are forgiven. And let's make sure that we are living out lives that demonstrate that kind of grace, even toward this sin. Jesus paid it all, including the sin of abortion. Let's make sure that we're communicating that in our churches, in our evangelism, and throughout our lives, because after all, if the gospel is anything, it's that Christ died to save sinners, and we're all in that category. On Monday, Dr. Mohler will be back. And he will be behind the mic taking your calls and putting truth on the line. And we will look forward to joining the conversation as you call in and discuss the issues of the day, issues that matter, with Albert Mohler. Until then, this is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows, Dr. Mohler's daily crosswalk commentary, and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.